Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight we're going to sort it all out. For tonight, it's the meaning of life. What's the point of all this hoax? Is it the chicken and the egg time? Are we just yolks? Or perhaps we're just one of God's little jokes? Well, tonight, it's the meaning of life. Is life just a game where we make up the rules while we're searching for something to say? Or are we just simply spiraling coils of self-replicating DNA? These lines come from the opening song of Monty Python's 1983 movie, The Meaning of Life. They're sung in a terrible French accent, which I will not replicate for you here. It's a rambling series of sketches satirizing every aspect of life from birth, teenagehood, middle age, and right through to death. The sketches are classic Monty Python, they're ridiculous, they're over the top, no one has any idea what's going on. And yet with every scene, it becomes really obvious that not a single person involved in this movie has an absolute clue what the meaning of life actually is. And when we stop and think about it, we don't really know either, do we? Over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking for the meaning of life. We've seen the teacher, Colette, on his quest to discover the meaning of life, and it has not been going well. We saw him last week trial by experience all of the good things the world had to offer. And what did he discover? Meaningless. Mist. Vapor. Like chasing after the wind. We did get a little spark of hope last week. Colette found that since all our labor is meaningless, we may as well eat and drink and find satisfaction in our work, since any joy we do find is a gift from God, which is almost positive. The Westminster Catechism tells us that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And Colette seems to be agreeing with this. There's just one little problem. Forever. Which is an awfully long time. How can we glorify God and enjoy him forever? Time is limited. Mankind is limited. And yet God is limitless. In this tension today, we will see Colette's first big light bulb moment as this spark of hope we saw last week bursts into a flame, as we discover the limits of time, the limitations of man, and how these limitations are overcome by our limitless God. We will see how we can truly enjoy God forever, and how doing just that is the ultimate meaning of life. There is a lot going on in our passage today, and if we're going to understand what God has to say, we're going to need his help. So please join with me in prayer as we dive into this passage. Father God, you speak, and we should hear. Lord, we have been seeking meaning, seeking an understanding of why we are here, what your purpose is for us. Lord, as we open your word today, please be speaking. Speak through me as I unpack the word. Let us as a congregation hear what it is that you have to say today. Lord, we ask ultimately that you would show us how we can live lives that bring you glory forever. Amen. Well, hopefully you kept your Bibles open. Otherwise, hopefully you can remember the page number. It's a good time to flick it open. Chapter 3. And right from the beginning, we see a perspective change from our previous passages. Colette kicks off chapter 3 without mentioning the word meaningless. We make it through an entire Bible reading without a single mention of meaningless. Instead, he breaks out into poetry. If you read there in chapter 3, verse 1, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. And then, as we can see, he lists on and on and on and on, a list of examples of things there is a time for. And on the surface, this is almost another testament to meaningless, isn't it? There's a time to live and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The sky is blue and the sea is green. If Captain Obvious was a real superhero, this would be his theme song. But when we scratch below that surface, we find the poem is actually deeply profound. It teaches us about the limits of time and the implications of us as human beings living in a world that is governed by time. This poem shows us two things that are essential to understand if we want to find the meaning of life. It shows us that we are not in control. And it shows us the limitations of time are the biggest barrier to us experiencing the meaning of life. Look with me at verses 1 to 8. We have little to no control over any of the things that Colette has listed here. We don't determine when we are born or die. We don't determine whether we live in a time of war or peace. Look at verse 5. How many of us ache for COVID-19 to end so we can embrace our friends or families, so we can see people in other states or countries? If we had the power to change this time of separation from embrace, would we not do it? And yet, we can't. My nana turned 80 last year. It's a good number. She's in a nursing home in New Zealand. She turned 80 alone because of COVID lockdown. We couldn't get across to see her. My family in New Zealand couldn't get in to see her. How much do we ache to change the times we find ourselves living in? And yet, we can do nothing. In reality, we have as much influence over the things that Colette has listed here as a child's wall of sand has on a beach over a large wave. Any sense of control we have is an illusion. We don't set the times. We only experience them as they come. J.R.R. Tolkien captures this beautifully in the second chapter of Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. Frodo turns to Gandalf and says of the events going on in Middle-earth, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." To which Gandalf, being very wise, responds, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what we will do with the time that is given to us." The times laid out in Colette's poem are too neat and ordered to be the product of random chaos. So if we are not in control, who is? Well, the answer is simple, isn't it? God is in control. Just as he's in control of everything else, God is in control of time. This means the lives we lead, the work we do, the children we have or don't have, our wealth, our poverty, our joy, our sorrows, none of this is entirely under our control. We have agency. We can think and act independently, but only within the constraints of the time in which God has placed us. And what a relief that is! Colette tells us in verses 12 to 13 of our passage today, "I know there is nothing better than for people to be happy and do good, to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God." We can find satisfaction in the good times because those times are a gift from God. And so, as the Catechism says, we glorify him as we enjoy his gifts. But the truth of God's sovereignty over time has implications for the bad times as well. Maybe you're working a job you absolutely hate. Maybe you found yourself an empty nester and you're not enjoying it. Maybe you're in a time of financial hardship or a time of loneliness. The sovereignty of God over this time gives us hope as well. They will end. Every season in life, whether good or bad, will end, and another season will take its place. This is amazing news for the weary and the burdened, and caution for those who are enjoying peace. And this brings us to the second limitation this passage gives us on time. The first limitation of time is that we do not control it. The second limitation is that time is finite. Did you notice it in the poem? Everything that Colette pits together is mutually exclusive. Birth and death do not go together. You cannot plant and uproot at the same time. Killing and healing are antithetical. You cannot search for something and give up on it at the same time. Time is finite. It runs out, and eventually it is replaced by another time. There is a time for summer, but autumn must follow, and winter must come. The times of our lives are the same. And this is Kohelet's problem in chapters 1 and 2. Everything he has tried so far is subject to the whims of time. Do you remember his opening words 2 weeks ago? Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And we've learned that the word meaningless basically means a puff of mist, a vapor. The reason Kohelet dismisses his experiences so far is that they don't last. Nothing that he has achieved so far in our passages will endure. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, was born in 1921. He lived 99 years before his death last month. He lived through two world wars, the Great Depression, the global financial crisis, the Cold War, the moon landing, and was literally older than sliced bread. And yet for all of his long life, Prince Philip experienced less than 0.05% of human history. That is a minuscule amount of time in the overall scheme of things. As we understand just how temporary time is, we start to understand Kohelet's cry of meaningless. Time is limited. It is outside our control, and it is finite. Everything ends. And as we understand the limits of time, and we see Kohelet's big problem, we see another big problem. We are also limited. Turn with me, look at verses 9 to 15. Can you see it there? Time limits man. And the constraints of time on humankind are what stands between us and being able to enjoy God forever. Read with me verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity on the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has deliberately made everything in its time. He has made them finite. Beauty fades. We have hearts that yearn for eternity, and yet everything around us reminds us we are not eternal. Just as every season has its time, so too do we. There is a time to be born. There is a time to enjoy life. And eventually, there is a time to die. Humanity is just as limited by time as our experiences are. How can we delight in God and glorify him forever if we don't have forever? God is eternal and we are puffs of mist. Kohelet realizes that we cannot even begin to understand what God has done from beginning to end. If our current understanding of science is correct, then God has been at work for approximately 13.8 billion years. Human history has been going on for 200,000 years. Thanks to my mother for helping with some maths, I determined that Prince Philip experienced 0.05% of human history. He experienced approximately 0.0000072% of all of God's work. That number absolutely blows my mind and broke my calculator. Friends, I can barely comprehend the plot of a 3-hour movie. How can we begin to fathom what God has done from beginning to end when we are limited by the shortness of our own existence? And this is where we as humans go wrong. We ache for the eternal, but we know that we are not. We fail to comprehend all that God has done, and so we strike out after eternity on our own. We know that everything we do has an expiry date, and yet we work harder and harder to make things last. In the musical Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton gives us this glorious window into exactly this mindset, into the human desire for the eternal. Throughout the whole show, we have an underlying theme of legacy. At one point, he declares, "God, help and forgive me. I want to build something that's gonna outlive me." And is that not the creeping desire of all of our hearts. Why do we build monuments? Why create art? Why set records? Why innovate? Why do we relentlessly pursue success or fame or achievement? Is it not our heart's yearning for something eternal, to make our mark on history and to last? And yet we know that we are limited. We try and stretch our limited influence beyond the time that we are given. And some succeed. But ultimately, as Colette has already said, even those people will be forgotten, will be replaced. Something new, something bigger, something better will come. So where do we find meaning in life? How are we striking out for eternity on our own? Is it work, school, wealth, pleasure, wisdom, possessions? Are you, like Alexander Hamilton, obsessed with your legacy? These are all good things, but they will not last. Is this it then? Do we spend another week sitting in the tension of our hearts yearning for the eternal and our own finite nature? Did I not tell you at the beginning that this would be some hope? It's not sounding good, is it? And yet, where is one tiny little thing that we have overlooked so far? Because Colette doesn't just present us with the problem and leave us to sweat it out for another week. Colette has given us everything we need to understand the answer. How can we delight in God and glorify him forever when we ourselves are finite? We need to understand two things. God is limitless, and he has overcome our limitations. Read with me verse 14. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. God does this so people will fear him. Time is limited. We are limited. But God is not. And this is how we find satisfaction in whatever toil we are doing. As Christians, we know that part of our toil is work in God's enduring and eternal plan. This means that in every season, whether good or bad, we can find a spark of hope. Because we know that what we are currently experiencing is part of something eternal. But that's not really satisfying, is it? Our hearts ache for the eternal. They don't ache for some small contribution towards the eternal. We want to be part of something that will endure forever. How can we enjoy God forever? How does God do it? How does a limitless God overcome the limits of time and the limitations of humanity to make it possible for us to enjoy God forever? This is where we break out of Ecclesiastes. See, Colette has correctly said that no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And for him, that's absolutely true. But our Bible doesn't end with Ecclesiastes. We have something Colette doesn't. We have the rest of Scripture. We actually get to see how the story ends. We know humanity was made to be eternal, to enjoy God forever in the Garden of Eden. We know that Adam and Eve sinned and broke our relationship with God, that they created that insurmountable chasm between us and God, and that through that came death. Through that came the limitations of time. There was nothing that we could do to repair that rift. There isn't enough time. But we also know that God sent his one true Son into the world. We know that Jesus lived the life that we could not live and died the death that we deserved and rose again in triumph over death as he ascended into heaven. And we know that he's coming back to make things new, to put an end to Satan's sin and death. So how can we delight in God and enjoy him forever? Because Jesus did not just overcome the penalty for sin on the cross. He opened the doorway to eternity. John 3:16 so clearly says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is it. This is the meaning that Colette has struggled so far to find. The limitless God has overcome the limitations of time and the limitations of humanity. We can enjoy him forever. But this carries a heavy burden for us as Christians. How can we go through our days knowing the secret to satisfaction in our toil, in the present life, and to the eternal enjoyment of God in the time to come, and not share that? John 3:16 does not say that Jesus died so that everyone everywhere may have eternal life. No, it says those who believe. This is our challenge this week. Do you believe in him? Or are you chasing after meaning and value in things that time will destroy? Or do you comprehend what God has done for you? Can you find satisfaction in your toil, knowing that this time will end, and another time will replace it, and the Lord eternal is in control of it all? And are you keeping this to yourself? Or will you go forth this week to share the true answer to humanity's quest for the meaning of life? Friends, time is limited, and time limits us. But God is limitless, and Jesus overcame our limitations on the cross, so we can enter into the eternity our hearts long for as we enjoy and glorify him forever. Let us pray. Father God, you are good, and you have shown us today the secret to enjoying you forever. Lord, help us to be a people that believes, that finds the delight in our toil, knowing that you are in control of it all. And Lord, help us to be a people that does not keep the secret of the meaning of life to ourselves, but to be a people that goes forth and shares with those around us how they too can find the eternity that their heart desires, can find rest from their labors, and can delight in their toil. And Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.